As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our focus today has been and will continue to be on the NFL draft. It is draft night, round one. And then we get to Friday and Saturday, and it's going to be fun and interesting. But I will tell you, Mike and I have been talking amongst ourselves. Garrett's here producing with us. Gordon is our on-site engineer about the news, Mike. And you're going to talk more about this in Guy Talk. But the news that has come down about Shannon Sharpe taking some time off?
Yeah, a lot of folks yesterday, I was reading some articles out there, and a lot of media critics were saying it was time for, actually ESPN probably missed the boat on maybe getting Shannon out of the studio a little bit sooner. But we'll talk about that because that's continued to be a very salacious story with all sorts of angles coming out. And he said, she said, and as a good friend, Commissioner Gordon, said, was this a transactional relationship? And if so, will that eventually come to light? But either way, oh man, NDA, my friend, a non-disclosure agreement is your best friend.
He said he tried and then changed his mind. Let's move on. We'll talk about that in Guy Talk. Mike, let's talk about the dogs, man. Let's get to the dogs. How many dogs will be drafted this year? Listen, continuously over the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years or whatever, dogs have, the number has gone up, right? And then they had that remarkable year where they had like 15 or 18 guys taken. And everybody, they broke the record for the most, you know, from one school. They're going to have a bunch of guys in this year's draft. We already know there'll be at least three, we think, including Malachi Starks, along with the other guys we've talked about, and Jalen and Michael, should be first-round draft picks. But there will be others throughout the course of this draft. Has Garrett swayed you any with the Michael argument about everything he's talked to us about today?
Well, like last year, I gave you three finalists for the pick. Of course, it, you know, never goes any way I want. But I started with Mike Green from Marshall, and then I went to Donovan Ezraku from Boston College, and then I finished up with, I said, final answer, Michael Williams. That's my pick to click at 15 and saying let's not miss on a Georgia Bulldog, because even though they might not flash with the stats, and we spent so much time talking about this with all our experts and analysts, Trayvon Walker's a perfect example. And you and I were just talking about this to start the program. Kirby and all his defensive coaches, you know, whether it's guys who moved on to other jobs like Dan Lanning or the current regime, those guys come out ready, just like when Kirby was at Alabama. You don't have to, like, you know, just point them in the right direction. And it's how they were used in a specific scheme for Georgia, which maybe you don't get the crazy off-the-chart numbers, and that's where you do see in other players, like Green's got 17 sacks. You know, Ezraku I've talked about, he's got 16 sacks. That's something you can quantify. Pierce from Tennessee's got 7.5, but at Georgia, you're saying, where's the beef? Well, if you're a Georgia fan, you saw them go up against the best lineman in the country against Texas and whip them. You know, I mean, this Georgia team, to me, these players are ready to go. Michael Williams, the only concern is the stuff we've heard, and we're hearing varying, and to be honest, Carl, the disputes now about just how serious the ankle was, what happened in his private workout. Some teams thought they were not impressed by his private workout after the pro day.
Yeah, look.
Does that bother you? Does that concern you at 15 to do that?
So this is kind of the argument that we've talked about with Abdul Carter, who also has not worked out. But the tape and this is what I hear, is that kid played in every game, and if you go watch the tape sells you on Abdul Carter that he's ready, and they're not concerned about whatever has held him out with these pro workouts or these private workouts. With Mikal, Mike, I feel like the biggest thing, and you said this earlier today, we really hadn't even talked about it in our discussion, but the fact that he was hurt, he knew he was probably going to go pro and probably still be a high draft pick, he could have easily shut it down.
Right.
But even during the season when he came back, Kirby said as much, and I think it's something that professional scouts look at, Mike, and teams look at, and general managers go, that's the kind of guy I want. I don't want a guy who could easily shut it down on any given Sunday versus, hey, I'm hurt, and I know my teammates need me, and I'm not 100%, but I'm going to come back out here and give it a shot. That, to me, goes a long way. I'm not telling you it moves the draft needle one way or the other,
right,
but it's one of the intangibles that people look at in these organizations that they go, is he a guy that's going to give us everything, or is he a guy that's just going to show up every now and then?
Right.
He shows up.
That's why I brought it up, man. I just think this dude is tough, and that's the toughness you want. Think about a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, who kind of like Mike Vick. He was basically everyone's hot prospect after that Outback Bowl. Remember the hit against Michigan? He had another year to play at South Carolina.
Came out.
He quit.
Yep, came out.
He just quit. He basically just completely mailed it in that final year at South Carolina. Then subsequently, Steve Spurrier quit. But, I mean, there's guys out there that know where their places. And Mikal Williams, to your point, knowing that there's a bigger goal at the end, which is to get to the NFL and take care of your family the rest of your life with generational wealth. And he's out there risking it every week. That's what I love that you brought it up again. This dude, that's something that I think should check some boxes for some scouts out there.
No, it does. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, guys. Been here all day. We're here until 7. That's when Mike Conti and Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, and Dave Archer, the analyst for our team, take things over and take you through the first round of the draft. As far as the other dogs are concerned, they're projecting again, and this is all, you know, it could change. 13, 15 guys, when it's all said and done, what are we talking about? There's 13 to 15 guys eligible for the draft. Mike, they might not all get drafted. At the end, some of these guys may be undrafted free agents that end up with particular teams. But the thing about Mikal, and I will say this, and this is the part that Garrett has been arguing today, and, you know, listen, we've been going back and forth on all these guys. His size matters.
He's bigger than Green. He's bigger than Ezeraku. He's a big – him and Pierce are the big defense. The prototypical – you want, isn't that what we want?
Yes.
But here's the thing. That's what we want as fans, because that's what we're conditioned to think you got to have.
No, we need that.
But is it going to translate?
No.
Even though he's got the size now, but is he going to be the guy? That's why these guys are paid the big bucks.
Okay, so –
And half of these guys are going to bust out in this first round.
So here's the thing. There's two elements to this, Mike. One is, yes, does he have the size? The other element is, and we saw this a few years ago with – what was the kid we drafted from the Senior Bowl? What was his name?
Rashid Hageman?
He didn't have a dog in him.
No.
He had the size,
right,
but he didn't have the go-get-me, go-get-it attitude, the effort. I ain't worried about that with Mikal.
No.
I'm not worried about that with him. So the element of size is great. There's a lot of big dudes in the NFL. I've been doing this a long time. There's a lot of big guys that played. They don't play long, but they get to the league and then they fall off. The guys that are effort-based last, this is one of those dudes. I am not concerned about that. When we talk about the size, I'm just simply saying, guys, when you talk to people around the NFL, they tell you, hey, the Falcons are smallish. We've been smaller on the defensive line over the last few years. That really started, Mike, with Dan Quinn. He wanted smaller, quicker guys up front, gap guys that could get to, you know, that was all that stuff. You got to have some run stop in you and be able to get push up the middle. We haven't really had those guys, so that's why I like Mikal as well.
6'5", 265. I mean, you think about that. I mean, that's – especially for a 3-4. You know, you think about, like – and again, I know it's base 3-4, and nickel, you know, blah, blah,
4-3.
But, I mean, it's 3-4 with 4-3 tendencies, as Bill Raftery would say. But, I mean, you think of, like, Richard Grant or Stroud and Seymour, those guys played at Georgia, the kind of athleticism. So, Mikal Williams, according to the NFL mock data draft base, or whatever they call this thing, his average depth position right now is 14th overall in the draft. We're picking at 15. So, that's where we should pick him. Because I've heard some guys go, well, he's not worth it at 15.
No,
baloney,
no,
man.
No, his value is there.
Come on.
Yeah, you're not overreaching.
No.
And you're going to pay more for a guy that you should have taken or waited to take. That's a right about that. See, that's what we're talking about, Mike.
Like, you can't trade down for him. That's the thing. You guys want to trade down. You can't do that.
No, but 11 to like 17 or 18, like in that range, all these guys that might be there, That's the range. You can't say that a guy's value is less because you're going to take him at 15 and that's where he's projected to be. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We also talked to DJ Shockley. You'll hear his conversation with us coming up at 6 o'clock, and I asked him about Malachi Starks. We really haven't talked a lot about Starks because we don't think we're going to draft a safety. But his value is interesting, too, because I think he's going to be a big-time contributor on any team that ultimately picks him because of what he's able to do. So he can do all the things.
But, you know, when you talk about everyone expecting D-tackle or edge rush, I mean, we could still draft Malachi Starks.
I don't think we are.
I mean, you could. I mean, you could, technically. You know, we did the we kicked the tires, you know, on Justin Simmons last year. That didn't pan out. Hellums, if we got some other guys on the depth chart, but I'm just saying, just throwing it out there. I mean, you know, potentially, if you're looking for, if somebody called a Fontenot curveball, but I mean, some of these things, the only reason we might not do some of the things you guys all expect is all of these edge rushers go, and there isn't this run on offensive tackles that we've heard, and everybody just jumps in on that, and there's not a bunch of guys coming up to get quarterbacks. Everybody feels they can get their quarterback between, you know, 20 and 32. Look, in that case, we'll have no leverage to really go anywhere.
All I will say is, you're right. That's the unpredictability of the draft. Malachi Starks is a top 20 pick in this draft. Top 20, okay? It's not a bad pick. It would just be, to Mike's point, everything that we think is going to play out has gone left, and all of a sudden now maybe he's the top guy at his position on the board, and you go, all right, is he a game changer? He's versatile as hell, man. I mean, like, I don't want to say he's Jesse Bates because Jesse is an all-pro, you know, type safety, but he's got those capabilities. It's Dukes and Bell. Guys, hit us up. Let us know what you think as we specifically just spend some time on the dogs and guys that are going to go here in the first round.
And we mentioned that if Jalen Walker should fall to us, in most mock drafts, he's gone. A lot of mock drafts, he's in the division. Carolina jumps on it.
Before us.
Yeah, there's a couple, or even the Saints, if he does fall to them. And again, I just can't. Who knows what the Saints are going to do, by the way. Curious to see if we're going to see that quarterback thing you and I were talking about. But if you, by the way, are interested in moving back into the second round, do you think there's a sense of urgency to get back in?
I do.
To find a corner or to find a tackle, so it's edge and so it's two lines. It's both for the D-line.
D-line. That's what I think. I think there is an urgency, and I think it's D-line. I do not think it's corner. I think it's going to be D-line. Speaking of our general manager, while we're talking about the dogs and more breakdowns from guys we've spoken to all week long, Terry Fontenot, Mike, talking about red flags. You concerned with any red flags of any of the guys we've talked about?
No, just health. The health stuff that we've talked about for a couple of those guys. I mean, you've got between, you know, the Mykael Williams, who some guys are saying there's nothing to see here when it comes to that. Jahad Campbell, apparently. Some guys are saying that is a red flag now, despite what his camp put out there, that he'll be ready for NFL camp.
Yeah, he is. And I say slipping. He's still a first-round guy, but does he go top 10? Or does he now go 25?
How come Will Johnson's on everybody's, you know, he's like the second best corner, and yet no one's seen this guy run in like 3 months?
Yeah. Well, those two guys specifically, I started the show today telling you, I feel like they're slipping in this draft. We'll see how far. Here's Terry Fontenot talking about red flags.
And they go through that. And then, again, I'm not going to get into all the specifics of how we go about gathering information, but then you have background checks. There's a lot of layers to that as we determine it, and there are going to be some players, it's much like the medical. Right. When you go through the medical process, you get all the information, you get the doctors involved, and there's going to be some players that have a medical alert that, hey, this is something we have to talk about. And some players that fail physicals, and that's, you hate that. You never want that to happen. It's sad when you go through it that, hey, this player is, it's when you get that list sometime after the combine, you have that medical meeting, and you see some players that you actually can't draft because of the medical. It's the same process with the character. You go through it. There's character flags that we discuss, and there's players that we wouldn't bring in the building because of those things. But it's a very detailed, thorough process. We take it serious.
I mean, so far there's no 11th hour surprises. I'm not sure we're going to get a Laramie Tunsil gas mask tonight. Although that was, I mean, not good for him, but entertaining as hell that night on TV. The only guy that I'm interested in that has a red flag, but this is a red flag in the eye of the beholder, is Mike Green. And no one even knows what the heck he was in trouble with at UVA that let him mutually decide to part ways. He's never been charged with anything. Micah Parsons, you know, there was a lot of unseemly stuff going on at Penn State, and Micah Parsons was linked to some of that, and that never showed up as far as anything where I've seen of a civil suit or any kind of criminal charges. So, you know, guys want to get all high and mighty on that. That Falcon filter crap, I thought that stuff is over. You know, I mean, if a guy is a badass defender, let's go get him.
Let's go get him. I'm with you. All right, coming up, guys, more analysts and breakdowns on the NFL draft. You will get a chance to hear what Mark Ross had to say on the morning show as he gives a breakdown. Also coming up, our buddy Charles Davis, DJ Shockley, Steve Weish. Stay there. We got you covered, man. We're talking about what's going to go down the first round of the NFL draft live at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's Dukes and Bell.